I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said
you were
racist.
He said you were racist.
You are very racist.
He said
you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, September 27th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. We are, it seems, hurtling increasingly toward the dystopic nightmare that Aldous Huxley sort of outlined in his infamous so-called Ultimate Revolution talk at UC Berkeley. And we're seeing the consequences of that, which is very unfortunate. I'm going to try to just dial in a little bit today. What is the, you know, ultimately, what is the antidote, I guess, to all of this madness? And again, you know, I think of Jeffrey Steinberg's article in Lyndon LaRouche's Executive Intelligence Review back in May of 2000, From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control. It's been 20 years. Where are we? To understand the roots of this new form of Manchurian candidate program terrorism, exactly. It is necessary to go back to World War II and the immediate post-war period, when there was a concerted effort launched by the Frankfurt School and the London Tavistock Institute to use the Marxist-Freudian perversion of psychology and other social sciences as instruments for mass social control and brainwashing. The two pillars of the assault on the American intellectual tradition were cybernetics and the drug counterculture. And so you skip forward to the section titled Huxley's Concentration Camp of the Mind, and this paragraph: Huxley's cohort in the 1950s experimentation with psychotropic drugs, Dr. Timothy Leary of Harvard University's psychology department, provided another glimpse. And so, you know, at a certain point, you have to wonder about a people, a society who would continue to subject, to offer their sons and daughters up in these kinds of awful, hideous, sinister, unscrupulous sort of ways, you know, to universities where they're being experimented on. Isn't it a peculiar paradox or dichotomy that on the one hand we have these, you know, venerated institutions that we're told, you know, this is where you want to send your sons and daughters, and then at the same time, you know, on the other hand, you have this kind of thing going on, whether it's experimenting on young people, in many cases unbeknownst to them, conducting strange research projects like the Milgram experiment or the Stanford prison experiment, or, you know, psychotropic drug experimentation, or if it's the Yale Islamic studies program that's really Wahhabi studies, and it's a way of turning Yale students into jihadis. And if that sounds sensational, then I would invite whoever thinks that sounds sensational to listen to that interview, Candace Owens interviewing Dinesh D'Souza. Remember that? Was that? That was last Where is that? That's going to bother me. Aldous Huxley, by means of ever more effective methods of mind manipulation, the democracies will change their nature. The quaint old forms, elections, parliaments, Supreme Courts, and all the rest will remain, will have the form without the substance, right? The underlying substance will be a new kind of totalitarianism. All the traditional names, all the hallowed slogans will remain exactly what they were in the good old days. Democracy and freedom will be the theme of every broadcast and every editorial. I saw a deal. Here's the most recent installment of the Flathead Beacon, which is a publication in the Flathead Valley of Montana. On the cover, Learning Through Loss, Following the Deaths by Suicide of 8 Teenagers in 16 Months, Prevention Leaders, Educators, and Mental Health Experts Seek Solutions. Maybe the solution, but really what that's disingenuous. It's not solutions they seek. Because if it were solutions, then we would undo the awful things that have brought about these circumstances. We would go back and start undoing the surveillance, you know, the basically all of the things over the last 18 months, let's say, that have increased, have sort of conspired to increase young people's sense of hopelessness. Speaking of the surveillance and things that we've known for a long time, you know, I think what we're doing is very cowardly to allow these things to persist and not to be very outspoken and emphatically steadfast and resolute in opposition to them. I was reminded over the weekend, Grant Jeffries Surveillance Society, that was, what was that? It was over 20 years ago, book, Grant Jeffries' book, Echelon and so forth. All these things that Edward Snowden told people that weren't news. Guys like Grant Jeffrey said it 20 years ago, you know, more than a decade before the Snowden revelations. So I see in this Beacon installment that has, you know, the suicide stuff, how many young people in that area have died from COVID. You know, I think one, and I think that's even disingenuous because it is probably the remdesivir protocol. But certainly not as nearly as many as have died from suicide. There's an epidemic of suicide. I wonder what's causing that, you know? Prevention leaders, what on earth? You know, it says a lot about a society if you have suicide prevention leaders and you have these billboards. And who's paying for the billboards? Educators and mental health experts. I think that's maybe an oxymoron at some point. Seek solutions. How's that working? Is it working? I think we should play G. Edward Griffin's remarks at the Red Pill Expo and his point about, you know, I mean, it's kind of, again, it's like my mom says, you know, you say, it doesn't make any sense. And she says, no, it makes perfect sense. You're just not thinking about it right. It's working the way it's supposed to work. So inside, speaking of democracy and freedom will be the theme of every broadcast and editorial. That's, you know, classic Bernays. So there's this article, guest column, a threat to democracy. Recently, America remembered 9/11. I remember watching blah, 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 blah. A threat to democracy. I guess you don't understand what democracy is. You know, the colloquialism that it's two wolves and a sheep arguing about what's for dinner kind of thing, you know? The republic is, the concept is supposed to, you know, in theory, the concept of the republic is to protect the sheep from the wolves. The minority in this case, you know, two wolves and a sheep arguing about what's for dinner. However, we have allowed ourselves to be moved in dialectical fashion along a continuum to where we are now realizing the worst elements of Plato's technocratic republic to the extent that I would call it the USSR. And what I mean by that is something you might call the ubiquitous or unified, I'm not sure which, probably ubiquitous scientific socialism regime, something like that. So ubiquitous or unified. And people don't even know what they're talking about or what they're doing. You know, this gentleman probably means well with his guest article. A threat to democracy. Sir, I beg you investigate the nature of that term. Please allow me to highlight some of his words. Now, for full disclosure, I didn't always agree with George W. This is just really shocking stuff. The Republican Party continues to minimize, deflect, or ignore the January 6th terrorist attack. This is an adult writing these kinds of things. Terrorist attack? That was what I refer to and others similarly as a strategy of tension, you know, false flag LARPing event. There was no terrorist attack. It's absurd. And so why the strategy of tension? Why the LARPing? I mean, it was a LARPing event. Would Mitch McConnell ask senators as a favor not to investigate the 9/11 attacks? Again, I mean, I don't want to say idiot, but Henry Kissinger, ring a bell? Tom Keene, Pilgrim Society buddies, you know? Are you saying, sir, that you believe that the 9/11 Commission fully investigated and the substance of the results of that investigation are thorough, factually accurate, and we have, you know, an accurate depiction for the historical record. Is that what you're trying to imply? Because that's just foolish. And if we're going to go there, let's start talking about every commission that's always, you know, it's always this way. And there's enough information out there that we should not be fooled by this kind of sleight of hand at every next opportunity, at every next crisis. We shouldn't be governed by crisis. We were cautioned and warned against that. Or imagine Kevin McCarthy insisting not to investigate 9/11 because the other side was simply seeking to score political points. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, I can't read anymore. So this is where we're at. And guys like Aldous Huxley told us, you know, this is what you'll see. Democracy and freedom will be the theme of every broadcast and editorial. Meanwhile, the ruling oligarchy will keep everyone like this guy distracted. And its highly trained elite of soldiers, policemen, thought manufacturers, and mind manipulators will quietly run the show as they see fit. So, that's what Jeffrey Steinberg's article is about. And to finish Huxley's concentration camp of the mind, Huxley's cohort in the 1950s, Timothy Leary, provided another glimpse into the perverted minds of the Russell Huxley Frankfurt School crowd in his autobiographical account of the Harvard University psychedelic drug project, Flashback. Leary quoted Huxley, quote, "These brain drugs, mass-produced in the laboratories, will bring about vast changes in society. This will happen with or without you or me." Now, let me just take a moment. I have received from more than one person recently the relevant passage in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, namely, and that root, that Greek root, you know, all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, the Greek root being pharmakia, the same that we get this concept of the pharmaceutical stuff from. So Leary is quoting Huxley saying, these brain drugs mass produced in laboratories will bring about vast changes in society. And by the way, I mean, I've talked even fairly recently about the history of the sordid history of the pharmaceutical industry and how it goes back hundreds of years. It's constantly laundered and sanitized. And like Alan Watt said in that clip we played last week, you know, the history is just what you're not supposed to remember is just it goes away. So the history of the Wellcome Trust, for example, or, you know, the Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, the history of the East India Company, and the, you know, I mean, Silk Road, for Pete's sake. And now we have the new Silk Road. And so the East India Company turns into, you know, HSBC, for example, and It's another one of these venerated institutions. They can do no wrong. It's too big to fail. What about when they're caught laundering, you know, drug trafficking or money laundering or whatever? There's a slap on the wrist because, you know, again, like Huxley said, these things, they continue on. And they get a facelift from time to time. And conceptually sort of sanitized. And the history of that stuff, nah, we're not supposed to remember that. Look, they have a pretty sign on the front. They couldn't possibly be doing anything bad in there. Astonishing. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. So Timothy Leary in flashback quotes Huxley saying, these brain drugs, mass produced in laboratories, will bring about vast changes in society. This will happen with or without you or me, which hints at a, I would say, a demonic plot that corresponds directly to Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. And it's interesting what is going on, you know, just the way that this whole, so Revelation chapter 18 is, commercial Babylon, the merchants of the earth, kings of the earth, that kind of thing. And it's fascinating to see what has happened worldwide with the central banking scheme. It's not a secret that there are folks that want to control the world, but for what purpose? To what end? It doesn't end there. It's not just that. It's a way to do other things. So, it's fascinating when you look at this system, you know. So, it's not a secret. Carol Quigley gives us some insight. For example, again, the Amazon book description for Quigley's Anglo-American establishment. Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891. London is an interesting city. You know, some cities get special treatment the world over, and the people don't really seem to pay attention to that. Why does it get special treatment? Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. That sounds sensational. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. We've had the Long War, really, ever since. Certainly since about 1914 or so. There's just been this, you know, we didn't get the peace that would last forever, the war to end all wars, things like that. We've heard about those kinds of things. It never seems to materialize. In fact, war seems to beget war. Smedley Butler told us back in the 30s that there are a number of folks who profited handsomely as a result of the First World War. And so, you know, hey, we made a bunch of money making bombs and stuff, so let's keep making money. There's no war. Well, you know, let's find some place to drop some bombs then. So, it's no secret that some folks are trying to control the world. And it's no secret that there is a plan and there is a work, you know, the work of the hierarchy, plan of the hierarchy. There's a central planner, but he did a masterful job, as Charles Baudelaire put it, of convincing the world he didn't exist. So persuading people that he didn't exist. My translation of Baudelaire, the most clever ruse of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. So, you know, Quigley tells us it's not a secret. And you can read in Revelation chapter 18 these kinds of things, and they correlate astonishingly well to, for example, Aldous Huxley, as quoted by Timothy Leary. These brain drugs, mass-produced in the laboratories, will bring about vast changes in society. This will happen with or without you or me. Sounds a lot like what's foreshadowed in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. There's this system, the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth. And they build this thing and they're so impressed with themselves. But then, God has other plans, and so it all comes crumbling down in an hour. Stick around, be back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. So we have these drugs, you have this city, and yeah. A lot of folks have speculated, particularly in the, can we call it the contemporary era from Disraeli on forward, that London is the modern Babylon. So you have the system, kings of the earth, merchants of the earth. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. You know, there are some interesting passages speaking of the widow and the orphans too, for that matter. One of my favorites along these lines is James. I've mentioned this before, James 1, 26 and 27. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. It's interesting, the tongue and the heart, you know, out of the well of the heart, the mouth speaks kind of thing. This man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And so you look at verses like Isaiah 54, verses 4 and 5, for example, we are all widows and orphans before Christ laid hold of us. So that's kind of the concept. Anyway, Revelation chapter 18. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, and pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. So you look at this system. These guys, Quigley wrote in the Anglo-American establishment that secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. And we have this central banking scheme that has enveloped the world. And that is a thing that people don't understand exactly just how sinister it is, you know. This continual process of inflation confiscating the wealth of the people, it degrades and erodes the natural propensity, shall we say, to save. Which, again, speaking of the Bible, this is something that we're supposed to do. You know, you read in places like Ephesians chapter 4, for example, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good. Sure, it's great to have, you know, your real estate portfolio and your stock portfolio and all those things, but he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And that takes a variety of forms. These days there are plenty who have need. And so this central banking scheme with its inflationary scheme dissuades and discourages people from being savers. And along with that, socialized nonsense giving people the illusion that everything will be given to you and life will be just fine. That's a miserable thing. Today's socialized America is discouraged and dissuaded from working and saving. And it goes beyond inflation. But this is the mindset people are being inculcated with. And so that was how we used to be raised in this society, to work, labor with your own hands, and regardless of what robber barons do, you performing what is good with your own hands, that kind of thing. And gosh, it goes so far. It's so pervasive conceptually. You know, when you start thinking about the way that this inflationary scheme creates this monopolist sort of momentum where everything gets sucked up into these larger and larger monopolies. And correspondingly, people are trained to be robots, a cog in a wheel. You know, you got to make sure that you have the worker skills. We're doing that right now with the constant reshuffling of the workforce. Better be a good serf in the corporate feudalist plantation. Got to have the right skills. Carpenters used to be, there were builders and carpenters who used to be sought out because of their technical acumen, and they were artisans as much as craftsmen. Sculptors, painters, same thing. Where are those people today? The craftsmen have been driven out of the trades largely. You used to know. There were little signature aspects of a craftsman's work. And now we have idiot-proof systems for idiots, which is very unfortunate. So, one of the antidotes, speaking of Jaron Lanier talking about technology, the technological aspect, one of the antidotes is to try to do something creative. And people, you don't even think about the ways, all of the sort of pervasive ways that system drives out and stamps out creativity and, people thinking about stuff. My dad used to make all kinds of stuff. And that was just his natural inclination. It was, to make a thing. I need something to do something. So, I'll just make it. And we used to have stores and things, Radio Shack, for example, that would cater to that. John in Tennessee and I talked a little bit about the automotive aspect of that last week. And that's being driven out. So the antidote would be to do those kinds of things, express yourself creatively, make something, grow something, build something. And, we are encouraged to believe in the illusion that we're so much better. If you watch the new Yankee Workshop, you'll be amazed at what people used to build without all of these fancy tools, just some hand tools and some good old-fashioned elbow grease. So I would say it's not better. to the phones. Quickly, speaking of John, John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, you know, there's several topics I could talk right now, but I guess, you know, I've never heard London or England as Babylon the Great. I tend to believe that it's the United States.
That's
a whole different story.
Yeah, people say places like New York, Rome, I would say those are kind of an extension. Those are proxies.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it says the smoke of her burning was seen from afar off, and it wouldn't buy or sell the oil, you know, and whatnot, their linens. But anyway, that's not why I called. You know, what's interesting, you're talking about sorcery and pharmakia, and there's those that, without question, will call in and refute what I'm about to say. But words do mean things. I remember when I was actually doing Bible study years ago, I came on the word sorcery, and I did a little bit of language study, and I looked at the Greek, and, you know, pharmakia, which is, by definition, a pharmacist is a poisoner. People don't realize that. It's a poisoner, and because of the business I'm in, back in the late 80s, I was delivering chemicals, and I had some poison. I had 6,000 gallons of highly concentrated acetone on my trailer, and I delivered it to Eli Lilly, I think it was Clinton, Indiana, years ago. And when I got in there to make the delivery, I asked the guy, I said, what do you do with this? This is poison. This stuff will, if you breathe it, you'll pass out and die. That's how strong it wasn't normal acetone. And he says, well, we take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we mix it together. We have this little black book, and we make you feel better. So they're mixing poisons, a drop of this, just like a witch's or a warlock's or grandpa and the Munsters, his little book in the basement, and he can do wonderful things with this spell book or recipe book of witchcraft. Take poison and make you feel better. And then when you think about what pharmakia is and the poisoners, and you understand words, pH, if your body's pH is off one way or another, it's a very dangerous thing. So pH and the word arma is the root for warfare. So it's pH warfare. It's kind of like, you know, the one that's going around as a ravening wolf, seeking whom he may devour, poisoning people because they repented not of their sorceries. You know, it's, to me, it's amazing. And I'm sure someone right now is sitting thinking, well, John, there's good use for certain medicines. And I'll agree with that to a point. I don't like them, but sometimes, and they may not be necessary, but they are convenient. The idea for me is to stay as far away from them as I can. And then having said that, you brought up the money and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that's going on. And if you'll think about this, what an illusion it is, because you can take money in the bank or a currency in the bank, and your balance increases year after year after year, and you're storing up an inheritance for your children and your children's children. Start out with $10, and you wind up with $1 million. But over time, because of the lie of the fiat money system, the balance is increasing year after year. You look at your balance book, and it's gone up drastically, but the purchasing power has diminished. Most people are so, in the true sense of the word, ignorant of what money is and how it works, that they think they've got it made, when literally over the years, they have had their blood, sweat, tears, and life stolen from them. That causes me to think of James chapter 5, woe unto you, ye rich men, who've heaped up treasure unto yourselves for the last days. And then on later in that chapter, it says, which you've kept back by fraud. And we're living it, folks. But yet there's people that will deny to my face what I'm saying as to whether or not it's true. I don't understand that. Never will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'm speechless, you know, just thinking about where we are. I mean, we've been warned, and now we're sort of bumping up against the reality of the warnings, but, you know, it's almost as if we've lost the ability, I think, because of that strong delusion, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, to even sort of conceptualize the problem, let alone the way out. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that would increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Hey,
fish in the sea. You know how I feel. River running free. You know how I feel. Blossom on a tree. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back.
Dragonfly out in the sun.
Bad time for an extended musical interlude, but, you know, again, it seems the timing is esoterically perfect on that every time. So, we're so far from reality, John. I think it's difficult to even sort of conceptualize the problem and the way out. But I mean, in simple terms, obviously, what I was getting to in mentioning Jeffrey Steinberg's article from 2000 is that Aldous Huxley basically said, you know, here's the preventative medicine, here's the cure, you know. So Huxley says these brain drugs mass produced in laboratories will bring about vast changes in society. This will happen with or without you or me. All we can do is spread the word. The obstacle to this evolution, Timothy, is the Bible. Leary then added, we had run up against the Judeo-Christian commitment to one God, one religion, one reality that has cursed Europe for centuries and America since our founding days. Drugs that open the mind to multiple realities, which is an oxymoron actually, inevitably lead to a polytheistic view of the universe. We sensed that the time for a new humanist religion based on intelligence, good-natured pluralism, and scientific paganism had arrived. So, the obstacle to this evolution, Timothy, is the Bible. So there you go. That's it in simple terms, but it's not quite that simple, right? So I hope to speak to that. You know, it is that simple, and then again, it's not. And, you know, in simple terms, why it's not that simple is because we've been encouraged to be earthly minded, I guess, as is said from the pulpit sometimes. That's kind of the way that it's thought of. And, you know, again, in simple terms, the Bible says that his ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. And so what does that look like? Hope to shed some light on that maybe in the second hour. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.